let's go ahead and get the Sunday morning worship started, the Sunday school. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. We thank you, Father, that we have the ability to be here physically, emotionally, mentally, Father. Thank you, Father. We know that coming together has a special power and encouraging and hope for each of us when we come together and we praise and worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have that opportunity, for we don't take this liberty lightly, Lord. Bless those that are coming. Give them safe journey. God, I surrender myself to you. My words be your words. My thoughts be your thoughts. Let nothing come from me, but only from you. Open the hearts of each and every person under the sound of my voice, Father, that we would allow this word to take root in our hearts, to grow, that the seed would grow and take root, that we would become the men and women of God that we are called to be for this day and this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a few weeks back, a few Wednesdays back, I taught in Wednesday night service, Shaken, Not Stirred. And it was a powerful word that God had given me about hope. Many people, non-Christians in this world, they need God in his love. But they can't even see that to begin with. All they can see is someone that has hope. Is different than them. You've got something that's different. And what it is they see the hope that you have, and they, once they grasp that you have hope, then you can open the door. And let me tell you about the love of God. Let me tell you how and what he's done for me. So today, God kind of expanded on that word, and he gave me the title today. If you read the screen, it says, Found a Healing, the Healing Hope. Found the healing hope. And I want you to understand that this applies to every Christian. I don't care if you're a pastor, a minister, a layman. It applies to you as a child of God. This is what we're called to do. This is one of the things we're called to be, is to be hope. And the reason why we can be hopeful is because we have the hope in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 6, you read about it. It talks about him, hope being the anchor for our souls. And our anchor is in Jesus Christ. And he sits in the heavenly places. He has already been victorious over the enemy. And so we just have to walk it out, live our lives according to that plan that he set forth for us thousands of years ago. John 10 and 16, Jesus says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. In 1 Timothy 2 and 4, he says, Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Well, that is what we are called to do. We are called to go. If you remember Matthew 28, the last scriptures, right before he's being taken up into heaven, he says, go into all the world, preach and teach and baptize in my name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Tell them all about me. So that is what you're called to do. And sometimes the only thing that they can see that's different, because they can't see God yet, they've been blinded by the enemy, as they see that you have hope and you have peace and you have this joy. You have something that they are missing. You have a hope, a healing hope, and they're desiring that. They can't even fathom God at this point. They're so much in darkness. All they can see is that you have something that they desire, and that's hope. So I want to read Luke 15. This is a well-known parable of Christ that he taught. And I want to talk to you about what God showed me. And I'll read you an article that he brought to me. And I want to explain why we can be such lights is because we have this hope within us. So Luke 15, starting at verse 4, it says, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance." And I want to talk to you a little bit about being found. Being found. I was reading an article in the that I found on the internet, and it's A Sheep-Like Faith. And this particular one talks about the parable of the lost sheep. It says, rediscovering the parable of the lost sheep. And this person wrote about an experience and how, as a shepherd, he applied this particular parable to his own life. And the first thing that you notice in this parable is that he has 100 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. Herds can be much smaller. And he noted, he said, when you have 100 sheep, one missing is not a big deal. You're not going to see too much difference in your wool and in what, you know, and the economically, it's not a big deal, because chances are you've got a female sheep called ewes pregnant, and they're going to produce twins or even triplets. So losing one economically is not a big deal. He says, but the good shepherd, he sees beyond the economics of it all. He sees with his heart. He sees with compassion. He is a shepherd. He is a good shepherd because it means more to him than just what it would produce. He has a love for each and every one of the sheep. So for him to lose a sheep, it was more personal. It wasn't so much of what the sheep was going to produce, the economic part of it. It's just because it was more of a personal thing for him. So he goes on to say that the sheep, a lot of times when he calls the sheep in, and I'm going to tell you the story about David. He's one of the lambs. And he says when a lamb or a sheep doesn't come when called, because generally at night if they're in a place that they put them in a fenced-in area or a barn to keep them away from the predators that roam at night to eat them. And he says they do it for a couple different reasons. They're either stressed or they're hurt in pain. Sometimes they're trapped. Sometimes they're too weak. Sometimes they've fallen. Sometimes they're injured. Sometimes they're cast, which means they're falling on one side, and because of their wool, the heaviness of their wool, they can't get back up on their feet. And it's so like our enemy. They're stuck, you know, they're stuck in a place, or they're trapped. And it's so much like the enemy who makes everything look so good and look so great. And before you know it, you're stuck. You're trapped. You don't see a way out. You don't see a way to go. And then you're so weak because you've tried and tried and tried and tried and you can't get free. He said that's usually the only reasons why they don't come when called. The other is if they're sick, they will separate themselves from the herd. These are herding animals. They like to be together. And that's one of the reasons I think Christ uses sheep as a lot toward us, because we should be together. And I'll explain that in a minute. But he said the weak ones, the sick ones, will separate themselves from the herd because they know that the predator is always watching. And if he can get in and get to me, then he has access to the rest of the herd. So they'll separate themselves when they're sick or in pain, so they don't bring danger to the rest of the herd. Oh, it's so intentional when the enemy says, oh, you just need some time alone. You just need to step away from it all for a little while. Oh, my friend, be very, very, very careful about that. because he's separating you from the herd. He's getting you in a vulnerable position where he can come in and devour you like the lion that he trusts, that he says that he can be. So let me just read you the account of David. David is a lamb. He's 7 months old in this story, but he weighs 45 pounds, most of it being his wool. He is big enough to be weaned from his mother, and not, you know, the mother didn't have to stand over him every day, but he's still just a lamb. He's still just a lamb. And the shepherd called one night, and he said, David didn't come. Now, it's amazing how the shepherd knows all their names. He knows their personalities. That tells you how much he loves each and every one of them. He knows their offspring. He knows everything, every detail about that particular sheep, his life, or his or her life. And he said one day he was calling them to get them in, and he noticed that David, the lamb, didn't make it to the field. And so David, of course, doesn't have to be watched. But so he assumed David had wandered out to the outer pasture where there was a barbed wire fence, but it wasn't the protection at night to keep the predator away. So he knew something was wrong if David had not showed up. So he goes, and I want you to, and so it's dark, and he's stumbling along because, you know, he waited, let him graze all day long, takes him in at night. So he is going out at his own risk. He's like, it's dark, and I'm walking through, and he says, while I stumble through the darkness searching for David, trying to not step on a hole I cannot see or trip over ant hills cloaked in the inky black, I thought about what losing David would mean to me. And when I read the story of all the things that he thought about, what losing that one little lamb, God spoke to me, and he said, that's the way I feel about you, my children. I think about the things that I am going to lose because of you. Not the great things, you know, not the things that profit me, but what I love. I love you so much. And he says, I realized that it would mean that I would never get to see how David turned out, how that he would grow up, what he would become, and then offspring that he would bring forth. You know, the enemy is very intentional. He says, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. That's generational. He said, I would never get to see David and enjoy the fleece that he would bring forth. That one day I would make something and say, you know, David brought his wool, made this for me. It keeps my hands warm. It's a blanket at night that keeps me warm. Because of David, I have this thing that helps me and protects me and keeps me. He said, so these things started registering, and that I would never get to discover the potential that I suspected David had, and I would never get to see what he could accomplish in his life. Jesus thinks about those things. I'm sure when he hung on the cross, he thought about those things. All the potential that you have, all the things that you'll be able to do. Because, you know, he knit you together in your mama's womb. He knows what's in there. He put good things in you. The ability to do great and mighty things. But sometimes we just get distracted. But so the shepherd is thinking of all these things that he's going to miss out on. He says, I have no guarantee that when I find him, he will still be alive. But I've got to go. I've got to see. I've got to do all that I can to make sure he's safe. And he says he comes up on the back of the pasture, and there was little David just standing there in the dark, very still. And so when I spoke to him, said he says, I realized he was too weak to really walk, but he was just standing so still. And says that is the last thing that an injured or sick sheep will do is lay down, because it means that he has assumed the posture that he cannot run if need be. Do you remember the Bible says a righteous man falleth 7 times, but it gets back up? Even the sheep know that once you lay down, you are not in a posture to run from what's coming after you. He said, but David was standing there very sleep, and I could tell when I called his name, instead of running from me, like he would do, kind of lean away, said he stood very still, and he bleeped very weakly. So I knew that he was hurt. So I went, and as I approached him again, he didn't run from me. He just stood very still. So I knew that he was injured or hurt or he wasn't well. And says, I couldn't pick him up and throw him up over my shoulders like a normal position would be to carry him home because he was 45 pounds. He says, so I bent down and I picked him up like a child, like you would a child, like just pulled him straight up. And said, as his face come against me, I could feel the hotness and I could tell he was feverish. He said, but David has horns like his grandfather, even at 7 months old. So I was very careful about where I placed him. He knows the generations that you come from and the things that you have inquired from them. So he says, I picked him up and I carried him. And here I am under the weight of him trying to get him back to the barn to safety in the dark. He says, I could tell by his irregular breathing that he was in a lot of pain. And I could tell by the hotness, the heat of his face and his body that he had a fever. So I'm struggling under his weight in the dark, walking back to the safety of the barn. He says, but I'm smiling the whole way because I am rejoicing because I found David alive. And he gets him back in the barn and he sits him down on his lap and he gets to inspecting him and he finds that David had an abscess on his face. David had been eating somewhere where a thorn or a splinter or something had got into his face. That's just like us, isn't he? We think we can get fed everywhere but where the shepherd wants us to be fed, right? And sometimes we end up with a problem because we're in the wrong place trying to feed. And he said, so I call another shepherd, and she is preparing her supper for her family because I don't have enough medication to give him. And she leaves her family, grabs her medicine, and as she's driving to me, to get to me and to David, she and I are talking about the plan that we have to do to save David's life. He said, I had pain medicine, but I didn't have enough antibiotic to give him. And she said, I remembered the good shepherd was rejoicing. He says, come, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. Isn't it amazing to think how that we are so loved by our shepherd, our good shepherd, that he would go to great lengths. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Do you hear hope in that? Do you hear hope in your own testimony, your own story? I can tell you many times I ran. There was times in my life that I wasn't even in the fold, and God kept his hand on me because I had a praying mama and daddy who covered me. Who covered me at birth. And at age 16 and probably age 15 when I tried to take some medicine and kill myself, God kept me. But I have hope today because I have a good shepherd, one who loves me, one who gave his life for me. Actually, in the scripture, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, I'm not like a hireling. A hireling is someone you just paid to come in here and do this job, because when he sees the wolf coming, he's going to run. He doesn't love the sheep like I love the sheep. I'm the one that's going to step out with my staff and do all that I can to protect them. I thought it was interesting when you read the story about the sheep, the lost sheep. It says that he leaves the 99 in the wilderness. Actually, if you look that up, it means an open field. why is it good for it to be an open field? Because they can see the enemy coming, the wolves, the predators. And what they do as herding animals is they put the lambs in the middle, and the sheep, the elders, they get around, they circle the lamb, and they protect the lamb at all cost. At times, they will even trample through the whole herd over the predator and kill him. This is what we're called to do. We're called to be hope in so many different facets of our lives that we don't even understand. You are called to be hope. Some people, that's all they can see. They can't even see God. They don't even know enough to see God yet. They are so deceived. Their eyes are covered with scales. David said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. The enemy is very intentional when he separates you from the herd. Why is it important for us to have hope? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. How is it that people can see hope in you when you're not even talking about it? You're different. You look different. You act different. You hold yourself differently. You have joy. You have peace. You have something that they don't have. And I want to read this in the Passion Translation, verses 3 through 10. It says, all praises belong to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the Father of tender mercy and the God of endless comfort. He always comes alongside us to comfort us in every suffering so that we can come alongside those who are in any painful trial. We can bring them the same comfort that God has poured out upon us. And just as we experience the abundance of Christ's own suffering, even more of God's comfort will cascade upon us through our union with Christ. There's your hope. There's your anchor. Comfort. It says, if trouble weighs us down, that just means that we will receive even more comfort to pass on to you for your deliverance. For the comfort pouring into us empowers us to bring comfort to you. And with this comfort upholding you, you can endure victoriously the same suffering that we experience. Now our hope for you is unshakable, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in God's comforting strength. Isn't that amazing? Healing hope. What I've been through, what God has brought me through, whatever my story is, whatever my past was, whatever happened yesterday or this morning, I still have hope. I still have a shepherd that will come out, look for me in the darkest places. And not only does he come to get me, he heals me. He carries me back to safety. And he heals me. I'm sure David the lamb didn't run from him once he got him. Once he started working on him and helping him, I'm sure he was thankful that the shepherd come to find him, because it was getting dark. And I'm sure he heard the sounds, the things that go at night. And maybe those sounds were getting closer. In Jude 1, 22 and 23, it says, keep being compassionate to those who still have doubts, and snatch others out of the fire to save them. Be merciful over and over to them, but always couple your mercy with the fear of God. Be extremely careful to keep yourself free from the pollution of the flesh. That's how we are a testimony to God, for God. We are a testimony in our lives, in our compassion, in our hope. When people see you and they see the hope that resides within you, despite the situation, despite what's going on, they're like, I don't know what it is, but I want what you have. They don't even realize it's God yet. They just see hope. I want to leave you today with Psalms 103. Psalm of David, it says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. And we're not talking lip service. We're talking heart. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. When people see that in you, they see hope. They see hope. They see a light in you that the world can't give them. The Bible says, you were once not a people, but you're now my people. He says, I took you from the darkness and brought you into the light. When we walk, talk, look, act, behave like people with hope, people that have healing hope, they're going to be drawn to you. They're going to be drawn to you. Don't be surprised when these crazy people, when people who don't have God, let me rephrase that, start drawing to you. It's because you have something that they want. Pray about it. Have God guide and direct you in your path. Stay connected to him always. But realize you have a healing hope because one day you were found. And they're seeking to be found as well. Father, we thank you and praise you for your encouraging words, showing us, Lord, what a great responsibility it is to carry the Spirit of God within us, so that all men can be drawn to you when we lift you up in word and deed and actions, in joy and peace and love, Father. Thank you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see those times, see those with our spiritual eyes, Lord. Holy Spirit, reveal those to us. Help us to be the hope that this world so greatly needs, which is Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.